Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
I am a working man, I get things done.
Hey man,
work for the Holy
Speaking
Ghost.
Of that, I saw a picture of... I saw a picture of Boova
in one of our
archive shows. Like I was, we changed. Hi, you're listening live from the back.
By the way,
here's the thing: you're on the podcast. If you don't know how you got here, it's a Golden Girls moment for you. It's time to change your ways. Anyway, we redid the website this week, and I came across some old video, and Mike and Boova especially look extremely young.
Yeah,
and so did Hudson. Hudson has aged 15 years over the last five. And I don't know what that caused that in his life.
But it's health. Listen, every time you see someone that looks dramatically worse than they did 5 years ago, it was because they decided to get healthy. And then all of a sudden, their appearance gets, age attacks them.
It's because they get skinnier, and it makes it look like they're wasting away.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. You're not aging gracefully when you start eating.
Hey, man, I'm all right with not looking healthy for a while then, if that means I just kind of start withering away.
Sick Boova.
I think Sick Boova is eventually the healthy Boova.
Fair enough. All right. Yeah, you're listening to Live from the Path. Here's what we got going on the show tonight. First of all, hey, no kidding about that website. Go check it out. Livefromthepath.org is all brand spanking new.
Yeah.
It's like a new package of loves.
I checked out the mobile site today, and it instantly the pop-up showed up and asked me to like us on Facebook.
Yeah.
That's really irritating.
I know. I was gonna let that run for like a week.
What if I don't want to
see what happens?
Yeah, I was so mad about it because I thought, now we seem cheesy, like every time you get clickbaited into answers.com off the Facebook or something.
Yeah, I'm trying to machine likes. Is that the wrong deal?
Yes, that's the wrong deal.
But I'm being honest about it.
Yeah. But...
honest faith.
Really?
Fierce likes.
Now, it was a default...
Donkeys.
It's a good reminder. It was a default setting on the site that when we picked it up, and I forgot to take it off.
Yeah, it's got to go, man.
Wish to pump up Benzigo, please like us on Facebook.
Like us on Facebook,
hey,
or now, don't.
Hey, I didn't buy BenFoos.org.
You thought about it, though.
Actually, I already bought it a couple years ago, fearing that Ben would eventually try to buy it.
I've been paying an annual subscription just to keep him off.
It turns into a betting war.
Cost me $7 a year to keep Ben humble.
Did you get BenFoos.info?
No.
I bought BenFoos.info.
Hey, man, I feel like...
some jerk had already taken BenFoos.org.
I feel like $7 a year to keep someone humble isn't that bad, though.
Yeah, websites you go pretty cheap anymore, especially when they added all the extra prefixes. You can get pretty cheap.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Anyway, here's what we got going on the show tonight. So we're going to spend just a short amount of time continuing a conversation we had last week. It had to do with hearing from God, and as rightly so, our friend Pete likes to cause what I call good and righteous trouble on the Twitter. And it was basically trying to understand if we're calling it possible that people can hear from God outside of the Bible, how are we supposed to understand that? Like, if God's talking, why shouldn't you just, why isn't that included in the Bible? And that kind of stuff. So, and he also sent us an article that I'll read a little bit from to see if we can narrow this down, and we'll see if we can address some of those questions that were kind of lingering from last week's episode. Also, Boova, Boova's kind of riled up about One Republic?
Not one. What?
What is it?
One Direction.
That crap. What
it's
am
the
I
same
thinking?
Thing. Okay.
Is it the same? Is it a bunch of dudes with the lady costume?
It's a bunch of dudes.
Is that right?
It's a bunch of young dudes with some crazy haircuts.
Okay.
And they're causing shenanigans. And
That's it.
Well, so here's the deal. So they have a new song out called Perfect, and I heard it on the radio show the other day, and it made me like angry. Like I listened to it and I got upset at these guys. Like, I wanted to call them out on Twitter and call them a bunch of jerks, but I decided not to because I felt like I'd get destroyed by 150 million women in the United States of America.
I'm not sure women's the right term. Most of them are teenagers.
Well, you'd be surprised, actually.
Okay.
You'd be good very point. Surprised by how many people are like, oh, I love One Direction. I'm just like, oh, we're not friends anymore. So this, yeah, well,
it's unnecessarily harsh.
No, I got
I feel that way about people who listen to Nickelback, so it's
That's
fine.
Understandable. I feel the exact same way about the exact same people who listen to Nickelback. So this song, man, it makes me angry because so many people are like loving this song, and I've heard so many people playing it. They put it on their playlists, and you know, I've seen it on TV and the music videos. And I had family members who played it this weekend.
Do an alarm sound. Okay, that's enough. But why do you hate it?
Okay, so
And my Uncle Stan doesn't like it.
And my Uncle Stan doesn't like it. And I stand against it. So do we want to start off with this then?
Yeah, hit me with it.
Okay, I thought we were just doing the...
No, hit me.
All right, fair enough. So here's some of the lyrics. So
what's more to the background of why you don't like it, though? I'm sorry, just hit you on.
It's jerkery. So it starts out, I might never be your knight in shining armor. Okay, whatever. I might never be the one you take home to mother. And I might never be the one who brings you flowers, but I can be the one tonight.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay, see? Immediate yes. Okay, so here goes into, when I first saw you from across the room, I could tell that you were curious. Oh, yeah. Girl, I hope you're sure what you're looking for, because I'm not good at making promises. And then it talks about all this crap that's like, but if you like causing trouble up in hotel rooms, and if you like having secret little rendezvous, if you like to do the things you know that we shouldn't do, baby, I'm perfect for you. And if you like midnight driving with the windows down, if you like going places we can't even pronounce, if you like to do whatever you've been dreaming about, baby, you're perfect, so let's start right now.
Is that implying that he's illiterate?
No, what this is... Let's go places I can't even pronounce. No, so... And, like, this song made me sad. Like, the lyrics make me sad because it's setting up an expectation of, I'm a complete and total jerk that will not promise you anything. I won't ever do anything for you, but I'd love to have a strictly physical relationship with you where we can have a lot of fun. And I hope you're on board with that. Let's go ahead and do that now. And it's just, like, all these teenage girls, like, 12 and up, maybe younger than that, are digging, like, they love this song. And they love these guys. And I see my family, younger sisters of mine that are loving this song. And like, I'm just like, what kind of expectations are being set in your life that this is the song that you can attach to? Now realize, I may completely be overplaying their actual attachment to the song. They may not even notice the lyrics, and it's just about cute guys singing songs that they enjoy hearing. But it kills me that this is the kind of song that is exploding across the nation, that everybody's loving. It's on top charts and things like that. And it's bringing this message of, I'm going to be a jerk to you, and I'm not going to treat you the way you should be treated, and I'm going to set false expectations because I can't keep promises, but I'll be great for the physical relationship you're looking for. And it just, it hurts me to hear that, and then to it scares me to be a dad, to have to friggin' deal with dudes like that. It kills me. So that's my anger with this song, and that's my anger with the situation.
Here's the crazy part, right? Like, that song almost reflects what dudes think girls think, and it's almost patently untrue. You know what I'm saying? Like, we almost have to be grooming our younger girls to believe that line of crap. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like, because they don't actually think that. Like from
that's
the,
what this song does. Is it grooms them?
That's exactly what it is. Like the dude's point of view is like it's almost purely physical connection, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the ladies tend to play along. It's not that they don't like it, but like it doesn't hold the same water for the ladies as it does the dude. And so. Like, we almost have to groom them into acting that way and telling him, yeah, you should feel this way because that's where all the greatness is. And, like, most ladies that I know will tell you that, like, it's just not the be-all, end-all form, right? Like, they are actually looking for a connection and someone to actually share their experience of what their life is looking like. And the physical stuff is great. Like, there's no lie about that. It's good times. But... Like it just seems so weird. Like they paint ladies like this, like they don't ever know the difference, and the girls all know better. They just seem to like to fall in line with it because it seems like the music industry or the latest movie you saw convinced you that was the way to roll. It just seems weird. I know, right?
I'll give him credit for a refreshing bit of honesty, but I think that's the end of where I would give him any kind of credit. It's like, yeah, it just. It's going to lead to all kinds of just broken relationships. I don't see what the point is.
But the thing is like from their point of view, and that's the crappy part, right? From their point of view, it's the norm anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like it's the norm to have gone through that stuff and reminisce about the last five relationships you had and which one of them really pulled this off well. You know what I'm saying? They're really good at secret rendezvous or driving in the middle of the night with the windows down and having a great time, and that's all cool and all, but like. You could do that with one person and then just live with them your whole life and marry that person and then just carry those memories with you and not have to look back on them and go, I lost that.
But it's so superficial. I mean, it has a shelf life of like 2 years and then you're just kind of doing the exact same thing over again in just different ways. And I don't know. I don't get it.
I think that one of the things that took me is the fact that, like, I expect this, right? Like, we should expect this kind of deal. Society is not in any way reflecting anything other than this. We see it in media. We see it in movies. We see it in music. We hear it constantly. We see it in TV ads and all this different stuff. It shouldn't be surprising. But I think that it still hit me hard because of the reaction that people have had to this in such a positive light. Like, I brought this up to someone recently, and they told me, a woman told me that I was overreacting and that it wasn't in any way demeaning to the women that it was talking to.
Oh, I don't think that's the thing, though, is I don't think they understand what God has deemed them as being worth.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to be able to say that, you have to be able to compare the actual value to the perceived value. And the problem is, like, they don't know their actual value.
Right.
This is one of those weird cases where, like, hardcore liberal feminists and hardcore conservative Christians would agree.
Yeah, there completely seems to be some agreement here.
that should really make you scratch your head when both sides that are that far out are saying, hey, this is wrong.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I've seen nothing but positive things when in marriages, in relationships, and frankly, just the general working attitude of fellas, when you can show them what God says ladies are worth.
Yeah.
And like just their whole attitude on life changes, the way that even the things that occupy their mind changes. Mm-hmm. And like I've never seen any detriment of where you say, look, this is how women are to be treated, whether you're dating them, married to them, whether they're your kids, whether they're you don't even know them, right? Like, this is how women are to be treated at all times. And like, it has never been a detriment to the guy and been a drag as far as I've ever heard back. Like, it's always been a positive change. So it actually makes you think the guy that wrote the tune, which probably wasn't even those fellas, it was probably some like 75-year-old guy that's been a serious songwriter for the studio for years, pumping out tunes. But like, it's probably just a reflection on the guy that wrote it. Be like, man, I don't think you understand ladies or the capacity for joy in life, that you've whittled down your time with your time in relationship with people down to this, because it's a very poor reflection of what a good joyful relationship actually even looks like.
Tom Jones wrote it.
What? Tom Jones?
That's not true.
I think Tom Jones is actually good.
He's not. I just saw an article on him, actually.
Article on Tom Jones?
It's a posthumous article.
No. He was living. He's a family man, it says. Yeah, Tom Jones is a family man. All right.
Thanks, Ben.
What? He brought up Tom Jones as if he died. This is how internet rumors start.
I didn't say that.
All right.
I said Tom Jones wrote it.
Oh,
anyway, so
which is untrue.
Synopsis of the tune: we don't like it because ladies are buying into the stereotype. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it kills me. I wish that they would understand. Like, and I'm part of the problem. I understand that. Please don't think that I'm standing outside of this. But I just, when I see it in family members and friends of mine, it just kills me that these ladies have no idea what they're worth.
I actually banned Bruno Mars from my house for 6 months when he came out with that tune where he's like, I'll never be your mama's favorite. Your daddy won't look me in the eye. But they're going to marry anyway. I'm like, hey, no way, man. You don't convince my ladies to not engage my opinion. Of course, they were like, I think they were 2 and 5 at the time. But I thought just the fact that he was insinuating that some dude is going to roll in and sweep my ladies off their feet and not care what I have to say, I thought, I don't need your kind in here. So I banned him from the house. My wife did not appreciate the band.
You let him back in after 6 months?
Yeah, and then he came out with, I think it was
Uptown Funk?
Yeah, Uptown Funk came rolling around. I thought, I can't ban this man.
Hey, man.
He's Uptown.
What song was that? Because I think that's a different band.
No, it's Bruno Mars.
Because there's a song by a band called Magic about marrying a gal.
That's a different tune.
That's okay. Rude by Magic.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, and he asked the dad. The dad said no. So at least he was doing the
But
the
then he still thing. Married the gal.
Yeah, but he at least asked. Because, and the dad was being outrageous.
Mike's in. All right, you're listening live from the past.
Mike says, why you got to be so rude?
Yeah.
So don't, I don't know, so don't buy the stuff? Is that what you're saying, Boomer? Pay attention to what you're listening
to. Here's the deal. Pay attention to what you're listening to. Don't just give into something. Realize that you have much more worth than that.
I don't know. I listen to some stuff that's pretty questionable. I like Boogie Oogie Oogie. And I don't know that I really believe it, but I will certainly buy it and listen to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Maybe you are slightly invested in your tunes, Booba.
It's possible.
People are just slapping lyrics in front of a synthesizer.
I know, and you're kicking back. I know, and I try and listen to lyrics. Like, I know. So, new age pop and stuff that's on the radio right now, I don't normally listen to lyrics because I know it's just a bunch of crap. But like this song, I was driving and listening to it, and it literally, like, it hurt my heart listening to it.
I mean, that should pretty much get rid of almost every song on pop radio.
Agreed. And you would think that, but for some reason, this one popped out of me, and I don't know why, and I wanted to talk about it.
Hey, actually,
some of them talk about love more in the context of devotion, and this one is, like, the exact opposite. It's, like, anti-devotion, but here
it's
I
like,
am anyways.
Hey, so I'm a general schmuck. I can't keep my promises. I'm not going to be the one that your mom likes, but tonight sounds great.
Hey, so actually, it's over similar lines, but I wouldn't call it the same lines. I was listening to some Christmas tunes on the way in, and there's some pretty questionable lyrics in some of these Christmas tunes.
For example,
which one?
So, for some reason, I feel like we talked about this before, but you remember the Baby It's Cold Outside?
Yes, that is a creepy song.
It is.
She say, hey, what's in this drink? Like he slipped her a Mickey. And it's like, people are going to talk. And he's like, oh, yeah, but I'll be real embarrassed and I'll feel sorrowful. Like, it's very rapish.
It's a bit rapey. It's true.
What else? What is what's the song where the friends call you who?
What? Is that the sledding song?
Sleigh ride together with you. Yeah. And the friends are calling. Except for in this version, she goes, and the friends are calling you who. And then I thought, like, what if you're walking down the street and one of your buddies just like, hey, you who,
you who,
and that's how they. Well, no. That's not how they're saying it.
I know
you who. And like a bunch of people were around saying that. Like that's. I feel like that's questionable.
It sounds terrifying.
Maybe the guy that did the beginning of Blue Moon only knows like one other phrase. And so he just pops out of his place every once in a while and goes, yoo-hoo.
I think a little historical context might be important because at one point they mentioned we'll build a snowman, we'll call him Parson Brown.
Wait, that's a different tune, Eric.
You sure?
Yeah, that's not the same tune.
Hey, so when I was younger, I thought Parson Brown was a brother to Bobby Brown because I didn't know who Parson Brown was. And I thought, who's Parson Brown?
Who's Parson
Maybe
Brown?
Maybe he's brothers with Bobby Brown.
He most certainly has his own prerogative. What else? The most wonderful time of the year. There's a weird change of chord, and they talk about telling ghost stories. Is that a Christmas thing that I'm unaware of?
No.
Like, is that a Charles Dickens thing?
No. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe it's a reference to a Christmas carol.
They do say friendly ghost stories.
No, scary ghost stories.
Oh, those were kind of scary ghosts.
Christmas is long ago.
That's not how Parson says it.
Yeah, Parson Brown.
Anyway, I thought that was weird.
He's an upbeat kind of guy.
And then. Hey, is it cold? Is it cold in Jerusalem at night, Eric?
Yes.
Oh, very cold. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I was just
cold. Incredibly cold.
During Do You Hear What I Hear, they were saying there's a baby shivering in the cold, and I thought, well, I mean, that's why they were bringing the myrrh. And I thought, well, I mean, it's not really going to do the trick.
No.
But that was the reference to the lyrics.
Myrrh is not warm.
I know.
Go ahead, but can you eat it?
So I was trying to validate two things. Yeah, you can take myrrh.
Yeah, you can.
Sometimes
eat it.
You eat things that make your digestion work harder, and then it warms up your body temperature.
The primary purpose of it was more for like embalming and keeping bodies that smell.
And why'd they bring that to him?
To signify the fact that he's going to die. It's part of why he came to Earth was his death.
Have you not read Mary's Magnificat?
So like
no.
The three different.
No, I have not.
The three different gifts kind of show his leadership as a king. You would give gold. To a prophet or to a priest, incense was kind of the tools of the trade, okay. And then for him as a prophet, well, all prophets get killed because people don't like the message from God.
Yeah,
so.
Hey man, I never realized there was that much into it.
Hey, Mary's Magnificence in Luke, Booba, you have read it.
I have.
You just did not realize that that was.
I didn't realize that was what it was called.
You basically said I skipped major parts of Luke.
You should read it. It's Magnificat.
Mm-hmm. Why do you keep calling it?
Jokes.
It's a play on words.
I get that, but why do you keep calling it?
What else was it? There was one other thing that.
You only live like 15 miles away.
I know.
How many so many tunes in?
There were a lot. So and they played "Where Are You Christmas." Have you guys heard that one?
Where
the
are you? Christmas?
Song from The Grinch.
What is this?
It's
Shania Twain.
Where
Celine Dion.
Don't make me sing it.
Not Celine Dion.
It's
Where Are You Christmas?
Yeah, that's the one. So that song was terrible.
Falsetto. Yeah. What's
up? Here's what I could do. I was threatening to do a things Ben could do without. Ben could do without Christmas tunes that are meant to draw me back to reality, like a depressed Christmas person.
you just went through a litany of things you disliked about the phony Christmas tunes.
No, I said they were weird. I didn't say I don't like them.
No.
You liked the first song you talked about? That's kind of weird, man. We talked about how molestish.
Like, baby, it's cold out there.
That's a creepy song, and I don't
listen
to it.
You're okay with the insinuation of a date rape drug.
There wasn't a lady
but
in
not
the
Cindy Lou Who singing Where Are You Christmas.
No, listen, Where Are You Christmas is depressing.
It is depressing.
I cannot find Christmas or the joy within it. Here's what else. I don't need to be drawn back to reality through my Christmas tunes. Wait, I get that someone could enjoy that, but I don't think it shouldn't be in rotation on the top.
Are you saying, again, Cindy Lou Who?
Are you saying Christmas Shoes is no good?
She found joy in it.
Yeah,
she
no did. Christmas
in the original story. I mean, she was
yeah.
She it was like in happy. Spite of all of the Grinch's actions, she still
it's
found
not
joy.
About hey, the Grinch.
Hey, what about that one song where the guy's like, "Met my old lover at the grocery store"?
What?
That's the best song ever.
Oh, the Christmas Shoes song?
Yeah.
No, well, that's not Christmas Shoes. That's it's by the Flugelhorn, Dan Fogelberg.
Kenny
Loggins. Not Kenny Loggins.
The Flugelhorn?
I thought
Van okay, Vogelberg.
Hold on, here we go. Here are the lyrics to Where Are You Christmas by Faith Hill. Where Are You Christmas?
I thought Celine Dion.
You were completely wrong.
Hey, he said Shania Twain.
Why can't, you said it was Cindy Lou Who. Where Are You Christmas? Why can't I find you? Why have you gone away? Where is the laughter you used to bring me? Why can't I hear music play? My world is changing. I'm rearranging. Does this mean Christmas changes too?
Sounds right about Cindy Lou Who.
Cindy Lou Who is the character from The Grinch Stole, Stole Christmas.
That song was written for that movie.
Yeah, hold on. What's
she essentially saved Christmas because...
Okay, but maybe it was.
She changed
the again, Cindy Lou Who sings that song.
Animated, like, 40-year-old Grinch movie? Or
no,
like,
we were talking about
the Jim Carrey...
One.
Why would you watch the Jim Carrey one over the animated?
Because the animated one is awful, and Jim Carrey's great.
It was on the radio. Now, hold on a second. Disagree. Listen to the lyrics. And then it continues. Where are you, Christmas? Do you remember the one you used to know? I'm not the same one. See what the time's done? Is that why you have let me go? Okay, here we say, if there is love in your heart and your mind, you will feel like Christmas all the time.
No, I've tried that.
I feel you, Christmas. I know I found you. You never fade away. Where are you, Christmas? Fills your heart with love.
That didn't make any sense.
What?
I don't. Here's
that
what
last part kind of dropped
here's
me.
What I don't care. I don't like to be brought to reality only to give me joy. Can I just take the joy? Does my Christmas tune have to bring me into the streets just so I can rebound into love?
No, man, they
gotta
supposed
play
to live the plight of Cindy Lou Who.
That started from the beginning of November to the end of the year. We're 2 months out of the year. They got to play this stuff.
Can I just have my friendly neighbors go, yoo-hoo? Can I just have that?
No, you should just that put, doesn't happen in the real world. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas on repeat.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
I just joy only. Give me the joy only Christmas tunes. And now the guy boozing it up with his lady in the car who he hasn't seen for a long time, he's out too.
Oh, Fogelberg's gone?
He's gone.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's catchy. That's catchy too.
He's got man. This is the same problem we had with that One Direction song. It's
on
catchy.
A lonely Christmas Eve. That's catchy too.
That was
man.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
We need to make a CD of you singing that song. That was great.
All right, you're listening to Live from the Path.
Sadly,
I'm sorry if you love that song. Stop that. All right, so
you know that's a good tune.
Let's get back to
it's good stuff.
The question last week was people hearing from God. And it sounded like the way that we discussed it seemed to come off that we would believe that God will speak outside of the Bible. And I think for a discerning Christ follower, I think that should arise some level of question to try to understand that correctly. In fact, I believe that's the nature of the conversation. If that's the case, then what is that to mean? And so there was some discussion on Twitter about this, and so the first question was, if people can actually hear from God, why isn't that included in canon, or the part of the scripture? Because if God is speaking, why don't we just include that in scripture? Is that not what scripture is? And I think the general rebuttal to that was we know that not every interaction between God and humanity actually shows up in scripture.
Yeah.
Right, so it's not, I'm willing to say that it's a legitimate question. I just, it's a false premise. Scripture doesn't purport to be every interaction between man and human, or man and God, and so we can't start there. The conversation kind of continued, and I think the real question is like, how do we, is it not dangerous to believe that God will speak outside of scripture? If he will do that, what do we need scripture for? If we say he will do that, or he won't do that, what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to read, there was an article that kind of, I think, allowed this to sit, without calling it perhaps what we've called it, allowed this to sit a little bit differently. So I'm going to read you a little bit of that, and then I'm going to get some of the reactions in the room from the article, and then we'll probably move past the conversation. This is Spirit Guide, the Lord's Leading in the Cessationists' Life. And so for a quick definition, a cessationist would generally be someone who believes that once scripture is codified or brought together, finalized, the gifts that you otherwise would see the apostles doing, the healings and things of this nature, are basically not happening anymore. So you're not going to see the types of healings that the disciples or the apostles were doing. You're also not going to see any authoritative things from God that otherwise should have been included in the Bible, because we are to believe that the Bible is final and is sufficient for what it purports to be.
I disagree with that.
Okay, noted.
Well, that's the idea of cessationism.
Yeah,
so.
Why am I
praying for people to get better then?
That
I feel foolish.
It's a fair question to bring up.
Continue on, Ben.
Okay, here we go.
I don't understand these things.
Anyway, it's the article, it's The Spirit Guide, The Lord's Leading in the Cessationist Life by Clint Archer, a.k.a. Buva. It's not uncommon for me to hear of Christians claiming that God led them to this or that by means of a dream or vision or word from the Lord. When I probe what they mean by that, more often than not, it's just their way of saying they had an idea or imagined a scene. Only that happens to me at work all the time. I said, Ben, what do you think? I said, hold on a minute. A word from the Lord.
I'm imagining a scene.
Only occasionally has the person insisted that they literally had a supernatural experience of direct revelation, like Paul going to heaven or Peter's trance. Dismissing those claims as spurious hogwash is fairly uncomplicated. And then he references some articles that he thinks dismiss those appropriately.
That are not the Bible.
And then, no, that's correct. What deserves more leniency is the acknowledgement that the Spirit prompts us and guides us in our everyday lives. After all, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So far, I think we would agree with that. Mm-hmm. Cessationists hold that the revelatory gifts, tongues, prophecies, visions, dreams, etc., ceased operating when the newborn church matured and the canon was closed. And then there's a reference to 1 Corinthians 13, which I'm not going to go into, but I'm not sure I find convincing for that particular thing. There are convincing arguments for cessationism. I'm just not sure that that's a good reference.
That is their proof text, though. It is the one in Corinthians 13.
Yeah, I don't know if it's great.
But why am I praying for other people to be healed?
Hold on.
We'll get to it. It's a great question.
I'm in the exact same shoes as Mike.
Hold on to your questions, folks.
But we can sometimes be annoyingly persnickety about censoring vocabulary that the Bible writers were perfectly comfortable using when referring to the non-revelatory leading of God.
Yeah.
Nehemiah, he's not agreeing with the Mike.
Oh.
Nehemiah was not a prophet, nor did he have access to one. Yet he acted on his godly desire to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, which he believed was God's leading. He referred to his desire and plan as something that God had put into my heart, Nehemiah 2:12. Even the activity of assembling the nobles was an idea he said God had placed on his heart. Now, what's interesting here is actually, referring back to those two texts, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that God didn't talk to him. It just says that it was something on his heart. So, like, I mean, that might be reading a little bit too much into what the Bible actually provides for you to eliminate something. I'm not saying it doesn't say that God spoke to him, but it doesn't say that he doesn't either. So, again, I think here's the thing. This is a right principle, is that Scripture needs to change us. We can't bring to Scripture what we want. And so if I'm reading this fairly, I can't say, see, Nehemiah is going off of leading that is where God did not speak.
Okay, so wait a minute. Just a quick diversion here. So when they say that cessationist means not including what's in the New Testament, right?
No, they will include the New Testament, and then basically once all the documents of the New Testament have been written, have been assembled, and all the churches have access to it, then the leadership of the Holy Spirit is no longer required. And so that basically now they've got the new law.
I find that true of all Dollar General stores. They have a manager for the first couple of months, and they say, place looks like it's running fine. I'm going to go. Schedule yourselves.
To be fair, I don't know that all of them would define it that way. I think that the part of a cessationist thought in some circles would be, is that the Scripture is codified, Holy Spirit is required for you to be able to be obedient to them.
Okay.
So that would be the continuing work of the Holy Spirit, right. which I think it starts to answer, at least provide an answer for one of the questions that I'm asking. I'm not sure, again, that I find it sufficient, but, I mean, it's where it's coming from. All right, let's see. Some call it having a burden for Africa or a prompting to donate to a needy family, or they say, I believe God is leading me to help in this way. The more cavalier cessationists might even venture to use the licentious phraseology, the Lord told me to, blah, blah, blah. So I don't want to be Big Brother's addiction police. As long as we all understand, God isn't disseminating new extra-biblical revelation to anyone. This guidance isn't prophecy or anything close to it. It's merely the natural outworking of having the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit.
What the heck? You just said the exact same thing with like 40 words. I don't understand the difference between what he's saying. Like, if you were saying God isn't giving me extra-biblical revelation, but he is guiding me in, what is it, what does it say?
He's saying the Holy Spirit's involved, but God is not involved.
I think that's, they wouldn't say it that way. Well, I think that is a right question for what's being said.
Okay.
That they wouldn't phrase it that way. I think that the thought process here is to say, the natural outworking of having the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit does bring up the question, is if God is the Holy Spirit, and God isn't disseminating extra-biblical revelation, then what exactly seems to be happening?
All right, so it's not the Holy Spirit is saying it. It's the Holy Spirit's in the room, and because the Holy Spirit is in me, I'm saying it. That's kind of what they're getting at?
I think so.
The result of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, not necessarily the Holy Spirit himself as the cause.
I think they're being very careful with language to
really
not approach
are,
what I think is a reasonable question.
Okay.
All right.
Is it fair to say God's a catalyst in it?
I don't know. I think so. I think they would agree to that. I hate trying to be fair to someone who would otherwise believe this, because I read this article and I thought, yes, this seems reasonable to me. Mm-hmm. But what I'm trying to figure out is that, is it scripturally cohesive, mm-hmm. not just reasonable? Mm-hmm. Which again, I think this falls into a lot of the cessationist arguments, which I find completely reasonable. I'm trying to figure out and let the Bible change me, and making sure that it doesn't need to. I'm not mm-hmm. saying it will. I'm not saying something has to change. I'm just saying I need to make sure it doesn't need to here. And I think that's the healthy way to look at Scripture. And frankly, if you're listening, I don't care what side of the fence you sit on. That's what I would ask you. Go through the process that we're going through, which is, if the Bible needs to change me, I better damn well do it.
Yeah.
As opposed to, here's what I think. Can I pick out a Nehemiah text, which is not distinct about whether God actually said something or not, and put it in my camp? That's where I think we got to be careful. All right, here we go.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, but patient, Mike. He's not done. As we are filled with the Spirit, i.e., here we go, submitting to his influence in our lives, he brings to our mind scripture we have studied. He grants us illumination or understanding on how to apply biblical wisdom to our situation. See John 16 for Jesus' take on the advantage of indwelling. He also lines our desires up with the word and with God's will, Psalm 37:4. And he, providentially brings counselors and leaders into our lives and dexterously wields circumstances to nudge us forward, as in Caesar Augustus' timely census. I have had moments of clear thinking while contemplating a decision, or an epiphany of understanding when interpreting a Bible passage, or even a burning desire to do something godly. In an unguarded moment, I might call that the Spirit's leading, especially after the fact. One significant decision that was accompanied by a sense of affirmation from the Lord came when I was candidating to be the pastor of a church. After my elders, their congregation, and my wife all affirmed my burning desire, I felt very much at peace with the decision. Now, 10 years later, to the week, I find it easy to acknowledge the process of it all coming together as the Lord leading us to this ministry. But, and this is a big but, Bertha, at the time, Bertha wasn't in there, no one involved in the process took my feelings or peace or enthusiasm as authoritative. No one took it as God giving Clint a vision or a dream or a word from the Lord. It was just a godly desire that came to fruition providentially in the Lord's timing. Looking back, it was clearly God's will. If the plane had crashed on the way there or the congregation voted no, we could not have concluded that God's will was being thwarted by democracy or faulty avionics. I'm grateful for the Spirit's involvement in the lives of saints in our church and his guidance in my life. Feel free to leave a comment if you feel so led. I like this man. All right. So, he's attempted to provide a reasonable way of which we could say gifts are still ceasing. Holy Spirit is still Holy Spirit. But it is not authoritative, and I'm kind of iffy on how that word's being used. Revelation from God outside the biblical canon.
No, he hasn't. He's gotten involved in some kind of crazy gymnastics of theology so that he can get the Holy Spirit involved but not speaking. So, I mean, he's described in crazy amount of detail how the Holy Spirit can do all these things, but apparently...
But he left a note.
He's mute. He can't speak. He can draw your mind towards scripture that's already been written, but he can't say anything.
I have no idea why I pray to God for stuff.
There's a much simpler answer.
Based off of this.
What's that?
I have no idea why we pray to God for stuff based off of this.
Yeah, that's
another thing. For direction in our lives, for intercession in what's going on.
Because he will secretly plant a sign in the middle of the night.
Right, exactly.
That you may or may not see.
Hey, God, I really need your direction on something. And by your direction, I mean I need to somehow interpret your scriptures and therefore feel led by my own self to make a decision and in no way expect you to respond to me.
Why is he okay with God indirectly communicating, but he's not okay with God directly communicating with us?
I don't...
it's like some third party of God.
Here's the thing, is that because it brings a foundational thing in that belief structure to bear, which is we believe canon is closed, right? If there's mm-hmm. no more Bible, Bible is sufficient for all.
When you say canon, you mean Bible.
The Bible. Okay. Bible is closed.
No, say Bible.
Okay, we are not adding anything to Scripture, to the Bible.
The Bible.
Okay. And so It implies that if the Holy Spirit or if God is communicating outside of that, it would imply that Scripture is not sufficient. I believe that is the concern.
No, it doesn't. Scripture is sufficient if you understand that the purpose of it is it explains the story of God in his redemptive work of humanity.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if Scripture is the replacement for God in the life and the administration of the church, then
you are idol worshiping Scripture.
Well, yeah. There's a lot of churches that do that.
Shouldn't the Scriptures be something we use to point us towards a relationship with God rather than...
I think I understand the way this... I think I understand where this comes from. Because if by saying that, you open up a very large door, right? And a large opportunity for people to run wild with it. Basically what he's accusing them of is, I got a direct word from God, and it turns out he's like, killing goats and putting them on a flagpole, right? Like, and there are those amount of weirdos that will do exactly that, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, I get it. I get what they're trying to protect, but I feel like they're doing it in a very pharisaical way, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the Pharisees' job was to take what God said, they move three steps back, and then put up a fence and say, we're not going to cross this fence because I don't want you to even get close to screwing with what God had set up or with the laws of God.
All right.
You're almost doing almost the exact same thing when you say things like this, are you not?
I think that is the concern about the risk that is open. And I submit to you, I think what part of the concern is, case number A, there was someone who was on Twitter had shared a post by a man named Neil Vermillion. And the title of his action was Personal Prophetic Words Now Available. In early February, God began to revive a motive within my heart from something he spoke to me a few years earlier. It had to do with prophesying to individuals, not just giving corporate words for groups. So after a bit of contemplation and thinking over and a lot of confirmation from Holy Spirit, I've decided to say yes to this direction God is steering me towards. With this in mind, I'm announcing I will be giving personal prophecies, also known as personal prophetic words, on a regular basis. Monthly, in fact. If you're interested in receiving a prophetic word from God, keep reading. There's a big long list of who this applies for. The charge is $50 a month.
Right.
Wow. Once he sees it in his PayPal, he will submit to you 2 to 3 pages full of prophetic word that is associated with you. But he can only take on 60 folks because it takes a lot of work to type all this prophecy up. So I believe this is the concern.
Okay, so here's the deal. To be completely fair to cessationalism, I have no explanation why I don't like this. I don't like it. I feel like it's phony and terrible. But why don't I like it? Tell me, fellas.
I don't like this guy at all. I feel like it cheapens the relationship with God. Like a personal relationship.
And here's the deal. People like him. People don't like prophets. He's obviously not a prophet. From biblical standards, I can tell that he is not a prophet.
Something
people
about,
actually want to talk to him.
Something about the prophet for hire just sounds wrong.
I mean, what's wrong with Jeremiah taking a few bucks here and there?
That is his description. Someone accused him of the same thing, and he said, nozzle the ox. This is my work in the ministry. You should pay me. Seems fine. Just taking a few bucks for my time.
Here's the deal, Boova. This is where they get us. See, I'll get all fired up and upset. But, like, I have no biblical standing on why this guy is no good.
Well, let me give you a couple.
Yeah, that's why I come to you guys.
I was going
to
say. Yeah.
Peter and John were offered money, or were they had asked, what was it, a beggar had asked if you've got money.
He says, I don't, but what I do have.
Yeah, I don't. Silver and gold, I don't have. Belshazzar asked asked Daniel to translate for him, and he would reward him handsomely, and Daniel's like, no, I'm going to translate it for you, but, no, not accepting the reward. Thanks. There's kind of a pattern in terms of, they're gifts from God. They're not services from God. They're not something you pay God for. And for this guy to act as a mediator to God and then to also accept money is basically now making God, a client. And that's not the relationship of his kingdom. That's not how his economy works.
I mean, he's not making a boatloads of money, though. Like, at 50 clients or 60 clients at $50 a month, that's $3,000 a month.
How do you know that it's only 60?
He said he can only accept 60.
Well, that's what he said.
It takes a lot of energy to profane words.
He also said that he's going to give up prophetic words for 50 bones a month.
That's actually fairly cheap for God's interaction in your life. I'd be willing to pay much more.
I was interested, actually. I mean, I don't believe it at all, right? But I thought, I wonder what this looks
just
like.
Just to see one
what
time.
What does he turn over?
You know exactly what it looks like.
I
come
know.
On.
It's probably horse duty.
Oh, it's definitely horse duty. The question is how far off is he? That's where the $50 entertainment value is.
So it's like a medium, right? Or someone you go to.
A horoscope or a fortune teller or something.
Because look what he says. Who is this right for? Anyone seeking confirmation about circumstances or relationship in their life. Anyone not sure as to their gifts or callings upon their life. anyone looking for additional insight and or an outside objective voice, anyone who is in a transitional phase, anyone who would like to know about their future and destiny in God.
Anyone who is $50 over on their budget at any point in time and needs to spend it.
Basically, anybody who has questions are the same type of people that will accept your answers. Well, I mean, that's how it works.
Here's how you listen to me. The things that he's purporting to provide are the exact same things that I would insist that you find on your own through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And because it doesn't do you any good for me to know Jesus real well. You know what I'm saying? It does you absolutely no good to not be in the kingdom of God, but you know a guy who could give you the skinny.
Right. I spoke to Jesus for you. Hey, thanks.
And again, you know what? That is what going back to Scripture proves is God's character is not like that. You know what I'm saying? God's character does not do that. What were the prophets doing anyway? They were pointing people to where they were in error of God or where they had walked away from God and how they needed to get back. This guy's look like, here's how you do life. Here's how to get yourself, you know, before you stop breathing here. Lame.
So would we agree, though, that seems to be that's where the risk comes in? That's what people are concerned about.
Now, the risk is far more dangerous than just this.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right. So understanding that risk, though, that's not a biblical concern over that risk is not biblical precedent.
Yeah.
Right? My faithfulness to Scripture seems like, I'm just not finding a place that allows me to say God cannot deal in this way.
I think the rub of this is that you've now got human beings involved. Whereas before, it's solo Scripture, you've only got Scripture, and whatever human beings were involved in it, the work has already been done. So you can't get people to mess up the Bible any more than it already is, which it isn't. On the other hand, if you say that God can interact and God can speak through human beings, then now you've entered in a messiness of humanity, which we are messy creatures.
And no one wants to try to decide whether God has actually said or not said something to you. Because here's the deal, because what we run into, like, there's the super obvious dudes, right? Like this dude here, who's trying to accept cash on behalf of Lord's. Like, everyone get to probably look at this dude and go, no, I don't think so, right? But, look for just a regular dude that's like, I want to follow what God has going on in my life. You take a normal principle, and Dave and I were talking a little bit about this week, like the things that God says, feed the homeless, clothe people who need clothes, go visit prisoners, and do all these things. Well, And you start turning to God at night and saying, look, I need your direction on how do I do that? Or who specifically do I do it with? Or do you just do it till you're burnt out and you have nothing, right? Can you invest so heavily in the basic principles that Jesus laid down, you know, that you are actually ruining the life that God has given you? You know what I'm saying? I don't know that. And it's the Holy Spirit that makes those, that puts those fences in for you and says, I do have some sort of position for you, and I have a place for you in the kingdom. That's the whole hands and feet thing, right? Not everybody acts the same, and so if not everybody acts the same, something's got to be able to make the distinction.
And so I suppose it comes down to two things where it sits in my mind is one, can we trust the Holy Spirit, and do we believe that this is something the Holy Spirit does? First century Scripture would otherwise point to me that is what the Holy Spirit does. And where I continue to struggle is this thought process that says we're to use Scripture as our basis for understanding God, but then are supposed to cut it off and say everything that the first century church demonstrates and the Scripture itself shows me I have to reject because we're afraid that it presents too much risk.
Yeah, it's like Acts presents a pattern for how to do church, and then we say, well, we can't do that anymore because now the Holy Spirit doesn't work this way.
How did first century Jews feel about this extra biblical revelation? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
stuff outside of Scriptures, aka what they thought was just about everything Jesus was bringing, they reacted the exact same way.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that I still, with that description, with the cessationist perspective, I struggle with that. If this is the example the New Testament is giving, why are we okay to write off that example and say that it ceased? Primarily hinging on a Corinthians 13. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of weight. That's a lot of weight resting on Paul's shoulders right there that I'm not sure that he even agrees with.
I think Mike's initial question about what's the purpose of prayer is very legitimate, because the moment you say that God can no longer give any kind of communication to his world that he created, then it eliminates any way of him doing any kind of miracles at all. I mean, whatever it is, if God does any kind of work in the world in a divine way, that's a form of communication. One way or another, he's communicating.
That's right.
With
Why
us.
Is it acceptable to say nudge the surgeon through the murmuring of the whatever, God's presence in the room to do the right thing, opposed to God just fixing it, just miracleizing whatever was going on in that room. What is the difference? Why does it have to be third party delivered?
Right. No, that's a good point. A broad overall point would be either you're a deist, which means that you believe that God does not interact with his world, or he communicates with his world. It's got to be one or the other.
Right.
And so you can't say that God doesn't communicate in his world and otherwise not be a deist, because his communication, his interaction with the world does communicate something, and it is that's too narrow of a box to act like it doesn't. Communication is a basic thing. If God does something, we know God through it. We know God deeper, whatever, for having seen it done. I would agree with that.
I also still see rainbows.
And we know from Scripture that God not only communicates with his people, even from outside the box. I mean, look at the Old Testament examples. He goes to pagan kings and gives them visions. And then he calls Cyrus the instrument of his deliverance for Israel. He actually refers to him as Messiah. This is a term that, you know, we normally think of as being only for Christ, since literally that's what Messiah is. So he's going to even people outside what we would call the holy box and saying, these people, I'm going to use them.
What was that? Ben was telling a story a couple of months back about the guy who was Muslim, and he felt like he was getting visions to know who Jesus is, right? And like, I agree, this is harder to swallow in suburban America, where people are just generally okay and have at least an inkling of Christ. But you look at some of the stories that come out of the Middle East of people who did not know Jesus at all, that were following Muhammad, and all of a sudden Jesus shows up to them in what they perceived as a vision or a dream, and they seek a life that follows Christ. Why the heck would you come up with that on your own? If that is not God interacting with somebody, what the heck is it?
See, that's the thing, is that I've actually heard... I heard a guy telling a story one time, and he was at a missionary convention, and there was a guy who was doing missionary work in India or something. And he had told a story about this guy basically coming back to life. He had been raised from the dead. He'd been dead, and they were getting ready to bury the guy, and he comes back to life. And after the conference, he said, like, he had, I don't know, like a good number of people that were attending this conference just coming and just yelling at him, like calling him a heretic, calling him a liar, and all this stuff. And the guy's reaction was basically, what do you want me to say? The man is alive. He was dead. He is now alive. What do you want me to say here? That's the thing, is like, it's pretty easy from American Western European box. We're theology people, right? We're our big theologians in the old Western Europe and America area, and to say what goes on and what doesn't. But when a man who's on the ground, where frankly you can see the gospel taking hold. I was talking to my uncle over Thanksgiving, and he does work in the Dominican Republic, and he's like, it's night and day, their reaction to the gospel. Like, my grandpa was there, and he said he had preached a sermon, and then had talked about people actually, like, coming forward, right, coming to know, to take the step of baptism. And he goes, everybody came forward. And he goes, I've not communicated something right. I've said something incorrect. They don't understand me correctly. I've said the wrong thing. So they move to a different venue, and he basically goes through the process again. Everyone comes forward again. Same deal. And the thing is that they – I think that's a little abnormal. But the point was is that, like, the way that the gospel spread in the first century, we don't see. We don't see here where we're at. We're lucky you get one guy who gets dunked every 6 months or someone who actually seems to be like, understand the gospel, grab hold of it, and follow Jesus. But there are other parts of the world where they are thirsty for the good news, and they're reacting in the ways in which the New Testament would otherwise describe people acting. And then we want to theologize from our high horses over here, where people aren't really agreeing to follow Christ, and say how things are, and say that God acting in that way or things going on in that way can't happen. And I feel like we got to be, and all from the premise that says, here's the things the Bible says occurred. This is the true word of God. We are to understand it and take it as truth. By the way, we're not comfortable with some of it. Ignore. You can't do that. Doesn't happen anymore. Here's how God is. Now ignore that. He stopped that way.
I feel like you're just describing cause and effect, only in reverse.
I think I agree with that. Explain it, though.
In other words, you've described how we've got this great theology, and we've got such a handle on God, and we've got him in our fun little theological box, and we've got people who just don't seem to be responding to our message. Huh. I wonder why.
Shootsky.
Dang.
All right. Here, two last things that I'll say to this, and then we actually spent more time on this than I wanted to, is I think I understand where this is coming from. It comes from a right attempt to be faithful to God's word, to weed out false use of God words, like our Twitter man. There was a guy who came into the church, I don't know, 6 or 8 months ago and said, God sent me here to help you straighten out something or other. And 2 weeks later, they were accusing, they were the Illuminati at the Super Bowl folk that we ended up talking about.
Yeah.
I get it. I totally get it. But if we don't see God as a dangerous, risky proposition, then we do not know him.
Yep.
That would be my reaction. And so I know where this thought process is coming from. Frankly, I'm inclined to agree with it. It makes my life easier. It makes me feel like I got God stuff under control. Secondly, I also know that a lot of this is rooted in the thought as to whether we even make our own decisions. All right, and I get that. I get that those things go together. And so some of the stuff that we're talking about is baked into otherwise your belief on whether we can actually react to what something God is doing or not. I'm not going to go into that conversation. Frankly, it's not necessarily a fruitful one. But I'm saying out loud that I get how that bakes into that. But here's the thing. You have to be willing for Scripture to change you. And so you can't hold on to the other things that we believe and look at this thing and look at it scripturally and say, well, because of what I believe over here, I can't let this go. I have some very ambiguous things in my belief structure because I'm still trying to figure out how I can be faithful to Scripture, and that does not align with any particular theology. And so I'm asking that you be open to that. And maybe even, if you can take the wink and the nod here, be open that God might actually change that in your life, communicate something in those regards. So give that a shot. You've been listening to Life in the Path. Thanks for hanging out with this conversation. I hope you found it a fruitful one, regardless of whether you agree or not. I really do appreciate the conversations that go back and forth. It iron does sharpen iron. I am grateful for the conversations that we had last week. I'm grateful for the conversations I had during the week and for the one that we had tonight. It helps helps me to consider whether I'm being faithful to God's word, and frankly, that is what I care about, and being faithful to God in that same way. So I appreciate you guys interacting with us in that way. I'm not likely to be a tulip man. You can argue that over the Twitter, though. We're going to have to take that up somewhere else. All right. Holy cats. We don't have a KTIA broadcast.
We don't have time.
We don't.
We don't. What?
Oh, yeah, we're going to be on for another 4 hours.
Hey, we have time.
So.
Can I smoke in here?
just checking that.
You might even be allowed a certain measure of profanity if you keep it.
Actually, I thought of that on the way in.
I love this place.
I decided, besides the fact that it's really dangerous, I need to. I was to start writing down things I thought of on the way in, and that was one of them. Besides the Christmas tunes, I also thought of: should we swear? And I thought we had a program before KTIA, and didn't really swear there, and that wasn't the reason we're off the air on KTIA. So.
I don't know that I really keep a restraint on my language most of the time. Anyhow. So, of what I generally swear, I feel like we usually say it. Yeah. I don't know that we're holding back profanity.
No, that's true. That's kind of where I came to. I feel like our show has always been pretty honest about that. Sometimes we've said things that don't go well on Christian radio, but they're things that otherwise I find particularly descriptive and at least partially appropriate at times. Mm-hmm. That's the deal. Hey, you know what I thought, though? You guys want to do a Bible quiz on Christmas?
I was just about to say that.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, hold on. I got one.
Let's do a quiz.
I thought you were going to do
this. This is a quiz on the biblical story of Christmas,
It just says Jesus' birth.
Hey, okay. Hold on. Do you have that? Do you have the Christmas album?
The Christmas album?
Christmas album.
Oh, I don't have that up and ready to go. What, you want to hear it? Mike, you want me to pull that stuff up?
Yeah, we were bust that out. Okay. It's the time. Here's the deal. Tomorrow is the 1st of December. And it's time for you to consider how you're going to spend your holiday money. And frankly, if I were you, especially if you want a collection of all the holiday favorites, you can't go wrong with the greatest Christmas album ever, produced by Life from the Path.
Oh, man. I forgot
that we did that.
This Christmas, don't subject your family and friends to the same tired old Christmas songs. Instead, start the season of singing and celebration off the right way with the fresh holiday sounds of the latest hit Christmas album, Ben, Mike, and Dan Sing Over Perfectly Good Christmas Songs.
Cold outside.
I've got to go away.
It's cold outside.
That's right, those wild Yule Breakers from Life from the Path are singing over some of the most beloved Christmas songs of all time. You'll hear favorites such as Baby, It's Cold Outside, Oh Holy Night,
Holy
All I Want. want for Christmas is my two front teeth. Jingle Bell Rock.
Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell Rock. Jingle Bells Swing and Jingle Bells Swing.
Carol of the Bells. Holly Jolly Christmas.
Jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Crocodile, Mr. Grinch.
If I had the choice between the two of you, I'd take the seasick crocodile.
Santa baby.
An awful good girl, Santa baby, to hurry down the chimney tonight.
Away in a manger.
It's a way in a manger.
Away in a manger.
It is a way in a manger.
Away in a manger.
It is a way in a manger.
Excuse me, who's the talent? Do you see a J in this word, Tiffany? I don't think so. Don't interrupt me again. And so much more. But wait, if you act now, you'll also receive the new classic Christmas album, It's a Wonderful Life from the Path. Check these classic scenes.
Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
That's right, that's right. Attaboy, Clarence.
What'd you wish when you threw that rock?
Oh, no. Come on, tell me. If I told you, it might not come true. What is it you want, Mary? You want the moon? If you want, I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down. Hey, that's a pretty good idea. I'll give you the moon, Mary.
I'll take it. During this limited time offer, you get both Ben, Mike, and Dan sing over perfectly good Christmas songs and It's a Wonderful Life from the Path for the excessive price of $58. And if you call right now, no one will answer. It's 11 o'clock at night, dude. Sleep on it, all right? Visit livefromthepath.org for these two great holiday releases from the Live from the Path fellas. And remember, Jesus is the reason for the season. But if you're going to listen to shady pagan music to entertain your family and friends, you might as well buy it from us. Merry Christmas. No albums were actually produced in the making of this commercial. Keep your money and give it to someone in need. All images, trademarks, voice marks, and fleas courtesy of Big Donkey Incorporated. Sorry, no CODs.
Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart.
Okay. you're very welcome.
If you haven't fast-forwarded through the video at this point, you might need counseling. I don't know.
Proud of you.
Here's the deal. If you're on the podcast, you got to check out that video. It's solid.
Oh man!
Where do you get it? You just go to the YouTube and put the search on Christmas album or
actually,
something.
I put it on the front page of the website.
Okay,
go to the lifeinthepath.org. It's be sitting right there in the front.
We're taking a Jesus Christmas quiz.
Here we go. Here we go. This quiz: Jesus' birth. Let's see how we do, fellas. Number one: who was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary? Jacob, Eleazar, Azor, or Jeconias? The father of Joseph. Jacob, Eleazar. Azor.
Are we going around the room?
Jeconias. Mike.
Jacob.
Eric.
Jacob.
Bova.
Jacob.
He has to say Jacob.
I do.
B.
Eleazar.
Why not?
All right, Jacob is right. We're putting Jacob as the answer. Majority rules unless I disagree, and then I rule. Which angel appeared to Mary? Gabriel, the angel of the Lord, Michael, or Gideon? Eric.
Gabriel.
Bova.
I thought it was the angel of the Lord.
Uh-oh. Dissension. Go ahead. Carson.
It's Gabriel.
Mike.
Gabriel.
We're going to go with Gabriel.
Okay.
Number three, who was promised that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ?
Simeon.
Ravi Zacharias. Joseph. Simeon. John the Baptist. Bova.
John the Baptist.
Say Ravi Zacharias?
Well, okay, they said Zacharias. I added the Ravi part in.
Hold on. Bova, did you say John the Baptist?
Yes.
Hey, Mike, let's let it lie. Carson.
Dang it. Simeon. Yes, yeah. That one.
Mike.
Yeah, Simeon.
Okay, Simeon. Simeon. Everyone's creeping.
Did you skip all of Luke?
John the Baptist.
I got stuck in Chronicles and I just can't get out.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time in Proverbs. Okay.
The Greek word is baptizer. Four. Who was the king of Judea at the time of birth of Jesus? Herod, Pilate, Caesar, or Barnabas? Carson.
Dang it. Herod.
You have to identify which Herod.
It only says Herod here.
Oh.
Herod Septuagint.
Herod.
Herod Antipas.
Herrick.
I'm pretty sure it was Herod the Great.
Yeah, it was Herod the Great.
Herod Antipas.
We're going to choose Herod.
Herod Antipas came later.
Yeah. Nope. Herod Antipas.
That was the son. Number five, where was Jesus born? Nazareth, Bethlehem, Jerusalem, Egypt.
Who's up?
Mike.
Bethlehem.
Eric.
Bethlehem.
We're not going around the room.
Come on, Bethlehem.
Number six. How did the shepherds who visited baby Jesus know where to find him?
They kept their watch.
Hey, now, if you're hold on a second. If you're writing this out, do you capitalize baby? Because this person is capitalizing. Wait,
because it's a surname of Jesus?
Because it's the baby. It's the most important baby.
The angels told him.
They were told in the dream. An angel of the Lord told them. They read it in the ancient scrolls. They better have read it in scripture. Number four.
They might not have been literate.
Sorry about that. A messenger from the east informed them. Herod.
Who's the angels?
Angel of the Lord. Yeah. Booba.
Agreed. Angel of the Lord.
Carson.
Yeah.
That sounds like the Lord's second party in his information. Angels of the Lord.
Number seven.
Hold on. I thought angel of the Lord was Jesus in the Old Testament. So it's like Jesus is telling them about himself.
That'd be awesome. Hey, man, guess where I'm going to be soon?
He's also a Time Lord.
Actually, that was, there is a...
Jesus is from Gallifrey.
There's a new book about that, and I believe the assertion is that he indeed was the one that told them about him, and the star they're following is him spiriting himself over to the manger.
I feel like he would be very irritated at the slow pace he would have to keep.
Right?
Come on, boys.
Seriously, keep up. I got a baby
to
find.
Soon.
It seems like a very logical way of describing what I would consider a terribly illogical but crazy cool event.
Yeah.
It must
Does
be.
Does that mean the beginning of most of the Gospels is Jesus writing his own autobiography?
I think the Bible is just kind of God writing his own story. Yeah,
whatever.
He tells it how he wants to tell it.
Maybe you should read Luke, Booba.
Maybe I should. Apparently, man.
How did the wise men, and they said magi and then put wise men in parentheses in case you missed it, who visited capital baby Jesus, know where to find him? They followed a star in the east. An angel of the Lord told them. They were told in the dream. They followed a cloud before them. Booba.
Star.
Star. Carson.
It's a star who might have also been the angel of the Lord.
Might have been angel of the Lord, or Jesus himself. Mike.
I feel like following a cloud would be infuriating. Star. Where are we? Where are we going?
Hey, man, it's getting windy. Start running.
All right, here we go. Which was not a gift the wise men brought to Jesus.
Frankenstein.
The one that's not gold, frankincense, or myrrh.
All right, silver it is not.
Frankenstein.
Toss out silver. Goodbye, silver.
That's why it was left to make the bells. Nine, to escape from the king. The angel of the Lord told Jesus' family to leave and go where? Herrick looked ahead.
No, I didn't.
He's been listening to the Christmas tunes to falsely prepare. 10, where was Jesus raised after they returned?
Nazareth. In
Man,
Canaan.
Seriously.
Hey, I didn't write the quiz.
Is this the same quiz joint we always go to?
Yeah.
Oh, that's got to be a different one.
Hey, man, do you guys remember the quiz on clouds?
Hold on. Here
on
we go.
Clouds?
Let's see what we got here.
Which one do we miss?
Yeah, we're 100%.
Oh.
Sweet. Hey, that means I was wrong at least four times.
Check this out. The average score for this quiz, which has been taken 94,000 times, is 77%.
That doesn't surprise me.
Hey, man.
Maybe no one reads Luke.
Yeah, nobody reads Luke. Nobody reads Luke. Holy cats, I really need to work on my Christmas story, man.
Or your Bible reading. Either
yeah,
one,
true.
Booba.
I've been spending some time Old Testament, boys. Leave me alone.
Booba, yeah, that's embarrassing for you particularly. All right. Do you want to take one more?
Yeah, we got to take a different one. That was terrible.
It's not Christmas. It's on alcohol.
Yeah, I love it.
Sweet.
On what scripture says about alcohol?
Yeah, so eight questions from the book of Proverbs on alcohol.
All right, Booba, time to shine. Bring out the turtle wax. Booba's shining.
Here we go. Number one, Solomon identifies those that tarry long at the wine as those who have sorrow and woe, those who have contentions and babbling, those who have wounds without cause and redness of eyes, or all of the above. Booba.
I'm going to go D.
All of the above?
Yeah.
But Booba's our main man. Any disagreements or other thoughts?
I'll go with him.
I feel like I'm falling on a cloud here.
I'm not sure where he's leading me, but, you know.
All right, it stays. Number two, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself all right. Aright. Excuse me, I'm going to start it over. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, it, A, is working the dregs, B, doeth good as a medicine, C, biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder, D, leaveth bitterness in the mouth. Carson, you're up.
I don't remember any of this.
No, I don't either, Ben.
It's either C or D. C.
D for a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
All right.
From the book of Proverbs.
Bitterness. My gut intuition is always to go with the adder. But we're going
deep. Yeah, I think C.
All right, here we are. Three. Wine is blank, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Wive is a mocker, shouting, enticing for the dejected.
Enticing. It's a mocker.
I think it's a mocker.
Wine is a mocker, beer is a brawler.
Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Does that work for you, KJV? We're in. We're in with the mocker. Four. Who's touching the microphone? This ain't amateur hour. Pull it together. Number four. Proverbs tells us, a man that touches the microphone is a buffoon.
That sounds Solomon-ish.
He is an ape man.
I followed a cloud here.
Number four. Proverbs tells us, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall fail thee, utter perverse things, deceive thee, be led to the depths of Sheol.
Who?
D sounds right, but I want to go with
you.
D
just
D
like it because he pulled out the Sheol card.
Because it says Sheol. You know,
what does that have to do with alcohol?
I don't know.
I don't either. But it's like I
keep forgetting that this is a quiz and treated it like a giant Bible verse.
Can you read that one again?
Choices.
Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall fail thee, utter perverse things, deceive thee, be led to the depths of Sheol.
It's either C or D.
You said that to every question.
No, but like so the tongue is the what. The tongue is B. The heart doesn't fail. It's seared. Ah.
So, thy heart shall deceive thee. Thy heart shall be led to the depths of Sheol.
Those are the options?
C. Yeah.
Well, that's C and D.
Deceive thee.
Okay.
C. I say C.
Anybody strongly disagree?
I think I'm depths of Sheol. I'm D.
I'm going to go C. I don't see wine as exactly killing you, but certainly deceiving you.
It says thine eyes and thy heart. I don't know really.
It's talking about ladies.
Wait, it's not talking about wine? I thought we were doing wine.
This doesn't sound like an alcohol quiz. It sounds like a Proverbs quiz.
Hey, do not argue with the quiz. Proverbs tells us, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall blank.
Oh.
So it's a heart. Shall fail thee, utter perverse things, deceive thee, or be led to the depths of Sheol.
See?
Why won't it fail you? Especially in the context
all the
of
way.
Women.
Final answer.
I don't think it's hearts fails you.
Carson's in with full blow.
So the heart deceives you?
Mike?
I think C.
It's Sheol.
All right, we're going with C.
C.
Okay.
Deceives you.
This is going to rise and fall on Booba.
The heart deceives.
Number five. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me and blank. I am bruised. I am chastised for my folly. I felt it not or robbed me. I think it's I felt it not. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Wait, what was the first part of it?
They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I am bruised, I am chastised for my folly, I felt it not, or robbed me.
Whatever, KJV.
Probably felt it not to keep parallelism
That's
going.
What I was thinking, yeah. Like, just for the, okay. Number, Mike, you're out. You don't get to guess on that one. Number six.
I was going
to
say folly anyway.
It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they perish, be overtaken in sin, disregard the affairs of state and lose the crown, drink, forget the law, and pervert the judgment of the afflicted.
C. Crown.
Disregard the affairs of state and lose the crown?
Yeah.
What's A and B again?
Perish or be overtaken in sin. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they perish, lest they be overtaken in sin, lest they disregard the affairs of state and lose the crown, lest they drink, forget the law, and pervert the judgment of the afflicted.
I'm going to go A, perish.
I like D.
Drink, forget
With
the
no
law.
No knowledge.
Hey, man. This quiz is making us look foolish.
I know. We look terrible. Carson, you're the tiebreaker here.
What? A. Yeah.
Perish.
Perish.
Carson's in for perish. Okay. Number seven. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, despairing utterly, despondent, or evil, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts.
To him who is perishing.
Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish.
Mm-hmm.
Mike?
Agreed.
Number eight. Let him drink and forget blank and remember his misery no more. Let him drink and forget his despondency, his poverty, the day of his birth, those that compass him about.
The day of his birth.
All right. Here we go.
Despondency.
How are we feeling?
I feel like we did 50% of it.
40%?
60.
I forgot to say.
Holy cow, Booba.
50. We answered 4 out of 8 correctly. Here we go. Let's check them.
Okay.
Solomon identifies those that tarry long at the wine as, we said all of the above, that is correct.
Right on.
Question 2, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, at the last it, we said, leaveth bitterness in the mouth. That is incorrect. The correct answer is biteth like a serpent and stingeth
adder.
Like an adder.
Friggin' adder.
Always go with
every
the adder.
Every time it's adder.
Number three, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. That is correct. Number four, Proverbs tells us, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall, we said, deceive thee. That's incorrect. Correct answer is utter perverse things.
That's what I said.
Utter perverse. Nobody said utter perverse
yeah,
things.
Yeah, I thought he says tongue always with utter perverse things.
Buva specifically is wrong, though.
I am specifically wrong.
They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not, is what we said, and that is correct.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Number six, it is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they, we said, perish. That is incorrect. Correct answer is drink, forget the law, and perverts the judgment of the afflicted.
D was
otherwise
correct.
Known as the Herrick answer.
I need a big bell.
Yeah.
I need a big bell to hit when I'm right.
Number seven, give strong drink unto him that is, we said, ready to perish. That is correct. And number eight, let him drink and forget a resounding the day of his birth. That is incorrect. The right answer is forget his poverty. His poverty. We also would have accepted his poorness or his lack of funds.
That he's part of the 99%.
Lack of funds.
All right, yeah, boy.
That's the message.
And the kick to the pants, the same people that did not do well in the Christmas quiz, 14,000 of them took this one, and the average score is 53%.
We were bested in Proverbs.
Bested by 3%.
So the commercialized version of Jesus we know, the actual heart and soul of the Bible, very, very poor.
Oh,
wait,
man.
You said the same people.
Well,
there was like 94,000.
14,000 of those people.
Okay.
It's probably the blowhard who says, I will dominate this, and he's largely right, and we're largely not.
No doubt. We beat the Jesuits at the Christmas quiz, and then we get taken apart on the Proverbs.
Yeah, that's a real bummer. All right, anyway, that's it for your quiz. Enjoy your folly. You adder.
Always go with the adder.
Wait, what was my accusation from the modern gentleman? Urban gentleman?
Hey, man, what we need to bring back more Urban Gentlemen.
The
Urban
Jack
Gentleman
and Apes
does
one?
Not listen to One Republic.
No, it wasn't the Jack and Apes.
First off, it's One Direction.
I don't know that.
Oh, come on. What is it? What's the thing I can call as an Urban Gentleman? I get to use this phrase, and it's a good one.
Oh,
The guy who says chopper. Gauss Simpleton. That's what
the Gauss Simpleton.
All right. All right. Our result for this week's quiz is Gauss Simpleton. Go ahead, Mike.
They're live from the path. I have been married to, quotations, Tom for 9 years. I moved into his house after we married. I downsized a lot of my belongings, but the problem is, quotations, Tom doesn't want me to have anything of mine in his house. He's always giving my things away or making remarks about what I do continue to have is trash.
I love Tom.
I've decided to put everything of mine into storage. I will even keep my clothing elsewhere and keep only a comb and toothbrush in his home. This makes me very sad because I feel he does not value me. I feel homeless even though I have a place to stay. I work and we split the bills. I don't know why he's so negative about anything that is mine, and I'm wondering if I should just move out. I've tried talking to him, and he says he is only joking, quotes, when he offers something of mine to someone else. However, because he has given away my things in the past, it does not appear to be a joke to me. I'm going to reread the first sentence just so you can perspectivize this thing. I have been married to Tom for 9 years. Okay, advice.
Oh. 9 years in, Tom says, hey, I don't want that toaster anymore, lady. We're going to go with mine. But I'm only joking.
It took you 9 years to figure out you were married to a jerk? He's giving your crap away.
I can't even try and put myself in this person's shoes. Like, to deal with Tom. Like, Tom's just like, hey, man, I don't want you to have any of your own stuff. And she's married to him for 9 years. They have a house together. And she has to keep her stuff elsewhere?
Wait, I might just keep my toothbrush there?
Right, like that's a weird deal. You live out of a storage unit?
Do
you have to pay the storage unit out of your own half of the bills? Because that's junk.
Yeah, Tom should split
just
that.
Just because Tom won't let you keep anything in there?
That's weird.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Shouldn't there be like, I don't know, wouldn't normally married people consider it like our stuff? Do married people have like two toasters? His and hers.
You're acting like there's a norm for being married.
True. Maybe Tom is just very generous. He considers it all to be ours, but he's generous with your stuff.
How does this even come up? Like, are people coming into your place and you're like, you know what? I can give this away to this guy. Hey, see this end table? Would you like it?
Hey, my wife over there has some nice clothes. You want them?
I don't understand.
Actually,
this
I've lived in a culture where the moment you compliment something, they give it away. They say, here you go.
I like your scarf.
Yeah, but that culture was not this culture.
No, it's not this culture, but Tom could be from that culture.
They quotation Tom. It could be Ahmed.
Okay. Or Syrian? What is the culture you're referring to?
Kurdish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would be a right name to insert, a general right name?
For a Kurd?
Yeah.
Like Fawad or, I don't know, Sermon?
I was going to say Fawad, but I didn't want to be stereotypical.
Hey, it's Fawad.
Fawad.
You bastard.
pardon me a thousand.
Man, that's what you came up with?
I don't know. I was just taking a guess.
That's a little more Arab, but, you know. I'm just saying.
You're a couch.
Mike does not know the difference.
I live in the middle of the USA. But I have very, very limited cultural abilities.
So here's the deal. I don't even know where to start here. I feel like I have 10 other questions about the nature of your marriage. Like, are you a felon? And is he harboring you as a fugitive and you're, like, married, in quotes?
And all of this stuff was stolen, and he's been trying to get it out of the house because it's hot.
9 years you've been dealing with this? Like, year one is where this usually blows up.
Felon.
There's no way this is the only thing that's wrong in their marriage.
No, I would very much agree.
Yeah, I agree with Ben. There's 10 more questions I need to ask.
Here's the thing. Is like there are certain things which I'd be willing to give up that are part of my... I actually realize this. There's nothing in my house that belonged to me. Mm-hmm. My current house. I don't retain anything besides like some personal belongings, like a Bible or something, that was mine. Like, otherwise, all our furniture is... We purchased... the beds, like, all that stuff is stuff either my wife brought or that, like, we bought together. So, like, I don't own anything personally. That's not a big deal to me at all. But, like, if I had stuff and my wife was giving it away without telling me, I don't know, man. That's and to the point that I would think, you know, I hate this so much, I might leave my toothbrush here only. And she said no clothes. Like, I don't understand. Would you be in the nude? I mean, I suppose if you're married, I mean, thumbs up, man, but that's a weird circumstance you're in.
I feel like there's kind of two issues that are bringing this to a conflict. Yeah, this is weird behavior. I'll grant you that. And like what Ben described, you know, normally married couples start doing things together and buying things together. But yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
But the two points of conflict are he seems to not be respecting your stuff. So that's his issue. And, you know, that's for him to change. On the other hand, you seem to value your stuff more than you seem to value your marriage. And, it's a little extreme, but you know what? You got to choose your partner over your material possessions. That's what a commitment's about. So,
actually, I thought you were going to say the two points of contention were Tom and his wife.
I don't know. It didn't say wife.
Yeah, they've been married for 9 years.
No, it said married. It just didn't say wife.
It could be a foad.
It could be... Yeah.
You didn't think about that.
Fawad and Ahmed.
Double Fawad.
Yeah. I don't know.
Bummer. Here we go. Secular says, when a couple marries, depending upon their circumstances, they find a way to combine their belongings or start fresh. That your husband will give your things away without your permission is insensitive and disrespectful. That you have tolerated until now tells me your marriage is not one of equals, which is not healthy for you. Under these circumstances, I can understand why you would want to leave. If Tom is willing to accompany you to couples counseling, it might help you to communicate better. However, if he isn't, you should talk to a therapist about your entire relationship with Tom so you won't find yourself in a subservient position in future relationships after you move out and divorce him.
Oh, my.
Here's the deal. This is where this is where I think that we tend to break with secular so much. It's like we generally promote marriages that are subservient equally. You know what I'm saying? Like, I serve my wife serves me. Not, hey, everyone deserves to be treated like a king here. I just serve, you serve one another, right? And that seems to be just a big, huge no. It's like you don't want to be thought of as serving your spouse because then you're not being treated with the same amount of, you know, grandeur that you thought that you should. And, like, we generally part ways there fairly easily.
Yeah.
Plastic. Ready?
Yeah, I got time for one more.
Dear Life from the Path, I have a neighbor, Mrs. Smith, in quotes, whom I see often in another neighbor's yard, the Jones's yard, when they are not home. I have seen Mrs. Smith pick vegetables from their garden and take them to her house, and Mr. Smith connect extension cords that run into their home in the winter months when the owners are away.
It's the greatest couple of all time.
The Smiths are at least in their 60s and well off. While it's possible the Joneses don't mind sharing their garden electricity with this couple, it does seem unusual. We have security cameras in our yard to discourage the Smiths from coming onto our property. Should I tell the Joneses about these people? And if so, what would be the best way to approach the subject? Or should I just mind my own business? I would consider someone a good neighbor if they told me someone was coming onto my property like this, but I can't assume that others feel the same way, especially since they seem friendly toward each other and share a property line. What would a good neighbor do?
Yeah, just bring it up. Hey, man, I saw that Jones is plugging into your electricity while you were gone. What's up?
Yeah. And then, you could say, hey, I noticed how the Smiths were taking some of your carrots. Can I get some of those too? And they go, what? They were taking my carrots? And then you fix the situation.
No, now you've burdened them. Just say, what's up? What's up? Hey, that's funny. What's going on? And they say, oh, yeah, he uses the stuff. Or he goes, oh, hey, I didn't know that. Really? Yeah, he's plugging into your joint. Oh, well.
There's nothing wrong with being inquisitive about this thing. I have people stop by my house when they see a car that don't belong in the driveway. You know what I'm saying? When someone just happens to be over, some kind of friend they don't know, they'll swing by and just make sure everything's cool. Because that's what their neighbors, what they do. So if you see some weird dude showing up with an extension cord and plugging it into the inside of the house, dragging it back over to his place, obviously electricity is available in the neighborhood to be at your house. That's an odd situation. It's worth checking into.
I want to meet the Smiths.
I mean, I kind of like to talk to them.
They seem like an awesome couple.
Yeah, they probably fleece you.
Mama Smith, going, hey, I'm going to take some of them tomatoes. Papa Smith, I'm going to get electricity too. I need to run the buzzsaw. Get it from the Joneses.
Hey, maybe they have a grow house.
A what?
Like, maybe the
really? Joneses, you think so?
Maybe the Joneses want to get all the benefits without taking all the risks.
Are you saying the marijuana?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. If
you
not
sure
more.
It's not carrots? I mean, maybe they're growing carrots in their
maybe
basement.
They're growing hydroponic carrots.
No, yeah, I was going to say, they're dealing in hydroponics.
I'm just saying, maybe the Joneses are like, look, we'll just take 10% of the crop.
You just use our electricity.
You just take all the risk over at your house. The cops will no way be drawn to an extension cord drawn between one house to another.
It's like, oh, did you notice that 400 feet of extension cord running from that house to that greenhouse in the back of those people's houses?
Nothing funny going on here.
I really wish, like, I'd like to see it. Like, I'd like to see the old man creeping across the lawn. Well, plug this
apparently
thing
he's got video evidence of it.
I know. I wish we could get a hold of this guy. That'd be interesting.
Now, it also says something that a man in a suburban neighborhood has got security cameras in his yard.
What was it, to throw off this kind of behavior?
Just to stop the Smiths? You were one non-confrontational dude.
No, actually, that implies a bit of paranoia.
Yes, it does.
He may have he may be over-investing in what is actually going on at the Smiths' house.
Who stops a 60-year-old man with a camera? You know what I'm saying? Like,
If I need to go talk to a 60-year-old man, I'm just going to walk up to the dude and be like, hey, man, stop stealing my power.
That's like trying to confront Betty White. I mean, you can't.
Betty, I know you're from a different time, but you leave my carrots alone.
Hey, the Depression is over.
Is that the rude way to put it?
It's time to stop plugging into your neighbor's electricity.
The Depression is over. We're not in a Hooverville. Get your own electricity.
Secular says, a good neighbor does unto others as he or she would like them to do to him or her. The next time you see the Joneses, casually mention that you have observed, suggest they might want to check their electric bill, and let them take it from there. Or not.
I kind of like secular style on this.
I really wish she would have taken a much more spy way to do it.
Yeah, I don't
know. Hey, take over your security footage of the grandfather Smith and grandmother Smith taking stuff from your house. I have video evidence of there's some kind of theft going on.
It seems a little cowardly to be like, you should check your electric bill. Wink, why? Yeah. I don't know. Why don't you just tell him? Just say, hey, look, that guy's dragging an extension cord over your place.
Yeah, it's either there's a good, like, fun explanation for it, or he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Either way, I feel like this is not a problem.
And plus, I mean, how much can you run off one extension cord?
Not much.
Not much.
I don't know, he probably's doing, like, if I was going to steal power, I'd probably plug my most gas hog of a deal on it.
I put an electric heater on there.
Yeah,
I was going to say. He hardwired his electric water heater too.
Okay, so I've actually done this once, but I was also living in a place where you know, the power grid doesn't work all the time.
Oh, right.
And
right.
So I and our neighbor, one of us had power at the time and the other one didn't. And so I actually went and plugged in the cord, and I found out that you can plug in the cord the wrong way, and it doesn't really matter because it's just completing a circuit no matter what you're doing.
Right.
So that's what I did, is I took a cord from our place and plugged it into his wall socket. And so, you know, to a casual observer, it would look like we're taking power from him, but in fact, it was actually going the other direction. And it was just to keep the lights on and going. But
should have just walked up to him and said, Foad, I like your outlet. He would say, have it.
We did. I mean, we had talked about it beforehand.
Right
so
on.
That's why we did that. So when power went out for him, I just flipped a button, and now he's got power again through us.
I love people. You know why? Because they love people.
You're listening to Life with the Path. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us. We really do appreciate it as we roll into holiday season. I want to remind you to listen to other people as they talk about the holiday season, because I don't really have anything to tell you. And
stay out of Proverbs, for heaven's sake.
Check out the website, lifefromthepath.org. Boycott, no, that's not right. No, make sure you continue to enjoy the other stuff that's on the 99.3 KTIA. They're lovely, lovely folk. And, yeah, well, I don't know. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to Life of the Path. Hey, be faithful to me. He's got a hand of the answer.
What's his extra biblical?
Yeah. What's his extra biblical? I mean, he won't handle it. Yeah. I mean, or he's already handled him and you don't have any.
He will only do it in a way in which he dealt with people in the first century.
Yeah. No, but not in the ways that stopped.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't do that anymore.
Yeah.
He might tell a guy that may slightly nudge you in the depths of night with a fan.
Scripture can't be trusted in that way.
No.
Anyway. Listen,
don't let God interact with you.
Okay, goodbye. I love you. Bye.